So, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, while thus engaged in thinking in the water, Brahmaji heard twice from nearby two syllables joined together. One of the syllables was taken from the 16th and the other from the 21st of the Sparsha alphabets, and both joined to become the wells of the renounced order of life. Purport. In Sanskrit language, the consonant alphabets are divided into two divisions, namely the Sparshavanas and the Talavyavanas. From Ka to Ma, the letters are known as the Sparshavanas, and the 16th of the group is called Ta, where the 21st letter is called Pa. So when they are joined together, the word Tapa or penance is constructed. This penance is a beauty and wealth of the Brahmanas and the renounced order of life. According to Bhagavad philosophy, every human being is meant simply for this tapa and for no other business, because by penance only can one realize his self, and self-realization, not sense gratification, is the business of human life. This tapa or penance was begun from the very beginning of the creation, and it was first adopted by the Supreme Spiritual Master, Lord Brahma. By tapasya only can one get the profit of human life, and not by a polished civilization of animal life. The animal does not know anything except sense gratification in the jurisdiction of eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy. But the human being is made to undergo tapasya for going back to Godhead back home. When Lord Brahma was perplexed about how to construct the material manifestations in the universe and went down within the water to find out the means and the source of his lotus seed, he heard the word tapa vibrated twice. Taking the path of tapa is a second birth of the desiring disciple. The word upashrinot is very significant. It is similar to upanayana, or bringing the disciple nearer to the spiritual master for the path of tapa. So Brahmaji was thus initiated by Lord Krishna. And this fact is corroborated by Brahmaji himself in his book, the Brahma Samhita. In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma has sung in every verse, Govindam Adipurusham Tam Maham Bhajami. Thus Brahma was initiated by the Krishna mantra, by Lord Krishna himself, and thus he became a Vaishnava or a devotee of the Lord before he was able to construct the huge universe. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita that Lord Brahma was initiated into the 18-letter Krishna mantra, which is generally accepted by all the devotees of Lord Krishna. We follow the same principle because we belong to the Brahma Sampradaya, directly in the disciplic chain from Brahma to Narada, from Narada to Vyasa, from Vyasa to Madhava Muni, from Madhava Muni to Madhavendra Puri, from Madhavendra Puri to Ishvara Puri, from Ishvara Puri to Lord Chaitanya, and gradually to His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, our Divine Master. One who is thus initiated in the disciplic succession is able to achieve the same result or power of creation. Chanting of this holy mantra is the only shelter of the desireless, pure devotee of the Lord. Simply by such tapasya or penance, the devotee of the Lord achieves all perfections like Lord Brahma. Om Agyanati Midandasya Agyananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tatsmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamstra Shri Rupam Sagajattam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sadivam Satvetam Savadutam Paritana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakan Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishapanu sute deve pranamami hari priye vancha kalpa tarupyasta gripa sindu pyae vata patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadara shri vasadi gora bhaktavinam hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare. While thus engaged in thinking in the water, Brahmaji heard from twice nearby two syllables joined together. One of the syllables was taken from the 16th and the other from the 21st of the Sparsha alphabets, and both joined to become the wells of the renounced order of life. All right. So here, there are three topics standing out to me, which I wanted to speak on a little bit. One is tapasya. The other one is about initiation, and the third one is on empowerment. So we can look at mundane tapasya. Every living entity is performing some endeavors to achieve their worldly goals. So parents, for example, perform lots of austerities to bring up their children. And the happiness of the children is the happiness of the parents. We have children's education. It's a huge, great austerity for children to undergo and for the parents. And both done for with the outlook to have a good financial stability in life and also be socially well presented, represented in society. So this brings about so-called happiness in life. But if we look here at this tapasya and the purport, it is more mentioned about a Brahman's tapasya or someone in the renounced order of life, and the tapasya of somebody who is following the Bhagavad Dharma. So according to the Vana Ashram system, Brahmins are priests, they're teachers, they're intellectuals, who provide actually education and spiritual knowledge, spiritual leadership, which determines the society's values, you know. And here, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks himself about the qualities of a Brahman. And there he mentions peacefulness, self-control, honesty, patience, purity, knowledge, wisdom, and also religiousness, and tapa, so austerities. So basically, Brahmins live their life in the mode of goodness, observing these austerities, his austerities with body, mind, and speech. So in today's verse, it is mentioned that tapa, so one of the qualities, is the beauty and the wealth of a Brahman or one in the renounced order of life. So when we hear beauty, we may think about good looks. When we hear about wealth, we may think about Lakshmi or money. And but here, what I understand it really means, it is the hardships which the Brahmins take in the mode of goodness, to live their life, be cultivating these natural qualities, and which are forming then the ideal character of a Brahman. Like, as a son's judge cannot be called a judge, he has to qualify himself to become a judge. So also a Brahman's son has to qualify himself by cultivating these Brahminical qualities and forming his ideal character. So now here in Prabhupada mentions also Bhagavad philosophy. So Bhagavad philosophy teaches us that actually that tapa is meant for all human beings, for all human beings. And that tapa is meant for all human beings in a way that they should be able to achieve self-realization. They must engage this tapa in the process of self-realization, because only self-realization is the business. It's called the business of human beings. The business of human beings. We are thinking so many things which would be our business, but that is our business. And this fact is very unknown, you know, to most inhabitants of human bodies. So people like to live a life of comfort. They like to have it easygoing. They like to get a lot for nothing or for very little. But here we learn, actually, that life is meant to perform tapasya with the outlook to go back to Godhead, to actually really establish our relationship with Krishna, with the Supreme Person, a loving relationship, which is our original existence. So there is a profit to human life, and that profit of human life is different to that of an animalistic society or an animalistic life. And this profit, it can't be achieved just by simply eat, sleep, be merry, and enjoy. So that must be very clear. So here also, Lord Rishabhadev, he taught his sons, 100 sons, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canton 5, Chapter 5, Text 1. He said, "My dear boys, of all living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even to the dogs and hawks. One should engage in penance and austerities to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, the purified heart, his eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness, will continue forever." So actually devotees are very much aware about this fact. And that's why devotees engage voluntarily in tapasya, starting with following the four regulative principles: no eating of meat, fish, eggs, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex life. And devotees also vow to daily chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So with the aim of making spiritual advancement, they engage in a very strict, strong practice of sadhana on a daily basis. And because they know and they have experienced the positive effects on their consciousness and overall well-being, they continue despite days where they actually may not feel like it, you know, where they actually may not want to perform these activities, where they are, some days they're enthusiastic to chant, and some days they may not be enthusiastic to chant. Some days they may be enthusiastic to hear the glories, come for classes. Some days they may not. But to devotees, they take up that battle. They take up the battle with the mind, who wants actually to do other things but engaging the mind and senses in spiritual activities. And how is this? It is said in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-234, Atashi Krishna Namadi, "Material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using the tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and to taste the remnants of the Lord's foodstuff, then the tongue is purified and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is." So gradually, the devotee will come to the state of being attracted. Gradually, gradually he'll become absorbed. And in devotional activities he becomes engaged, just like a metal is attracted, you know, to the magnet. So the devotee, gradually, he will become absorbed in engaging in his or her devotional activities. And by becoming slowly absorbed with the mind and senses in Krishna's service, the extent will come out where they are actually really captivated by Krishna. You know, mind and senses will become captivated. And that is actually Krishna consciousness, that is bhakti. We want our mind and our senses to be attracted and captivated by Krishna. Hare Krishna. So it doesn't take, because why we want to be attracted by Krishna? Because it doesn't take much for the mind and senses to be attracted by Maya, isn't it? Maya, in seconds it can happen that a devotee can be diverted by Maya's intents. But to become attracted to Krishna, one may have to perform a lifetime of practice of sadhana to just come to the point, you know, to be attracted to Krishna. So Maya, is said, is testing the devotee on its path a lot. But It is said Maya, she is standing just behind Krishna and she is watching the activities of the devotee. And until the devotee is very sincerely engaged in their Krishna's conscious activities, she is quite silent. But if the time the devotee forgets Krishna for a while, then Maya will be very ready to catch this devotee with the intent to drag it again back to towards materialistic activities. So in that regard, in the class, Srila Prabhupada, he advised the devotees to daily pray to Krishna. Krishna, please, please have your grace up on me. Please, Krishna, by Maya's influence, may I not miss it. May I not miss that chance which you have been given now. You have given me such a great chance. So it is said that a dog remains loyal to the person who feeds him. So in the same way, our mind is loyal to that person who it is fed by. So we can feed our mind with Krishna's activities or with Maya's activities. So this is a choice of a devotee's intelligence. So really the best method is to divert the mind and the senses into Krishna's service. The idle mind is said to be devil's workshop. So, okay, what can we do? Engage our mind in chanting, in thinking of Krishna. Be more and more in the association of devotees. Reduce the association of non-devotees or mundane people. Get to read Krishna's literatures more and more. Attend satsanga programs as much as you can. And do your work, do your seva in thinking of Krishna. So these are a few practical ways how we can engage our mind in Krishna's service. So then what will happen is that our mind and senses, or maybe better, our mind will direct our senses to remain actually happy and joyful, blissful, satisfied in Krishna conscious activities. And that is spiritual life which is wanted, real spiritual life. This type of tapasya performed very sincerely, with sincerity, in a humble mood, trying to become the servant of the servant of the Lord. In this way, devotees will make very nice progress on their path. And everything what they need to know will be revealed to them by Krishna. So moving on to the point of initiation, I wanted to refer to a verse, to the chapter where it is pointed out, a list of 10 items which are called to be preliminary necessities for beginning the discharge of devotional service in regular principles. So I will mention only the first three ones. So the first three are accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Second, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. And thirdly, obeying the order of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. So we are learning here in this chapter a lot about Lord Brahma. So Brahma is the very first living entity, very first born living entity. He took a little different birth in humans, but very first born living entity. And also he is the very first initiated living being in this universe. So he originates the process of inquiry into spiritual life and accepting the process of devotional service as a means to perfect one's human life. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport points out the word upashrinod. And it said it means hearing nearby. And there he says that it's very similar to the word upanayana, which means bringing the disciple nearer to the spiritual master for the path of tapa. So in my understanding here, Prabhupada brings this out with the intent as a confirmation or as a proof that the initiation of Lord Brahma took place by Lord Krishna himself. And he said that this fact is also established by Brahma himself when he wrote the book, the Brahma Samhita, or spoke the beautiful prayers, the Brahma Samhita. Yes, as we understand, it is described that Lord Brahma is sitting on the top of a lotus flower and he is trying to understand the source of his existence and the purpose of his existence. So he is actually climbing down the lotus stem. He's trying to find out the origin. He can't. So he comes up again and he sits down on the lotus flower. And there he hears the word ta-pam twice. The syllables ta-pam, which we have learned from the verse, which is also very interesting. We get some little peep into the grammar of Sanskrit, the divine language of the demigods, that there are two groups of consonants, the sparshalinga and the talayavana, talayana, vanas. Yeah. So, but that ta-pa is coming from the sparshavana consonant, so 16th and 21st syllable. Okay. So in his purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions, taking the path of tapa is a second birth of the desiring disciple. And that is actually, in general, what happens when the disciple is ready to accept the vows and the engagement of a lifelong tapasya, lifelong taking austerities, lifelong practicing a devotional service. Then he is ready to take the spiritual initiation from the spiritual master. So with receiving the initiation, Lord Brahma, it is said here, became a Vaishnava, a devotee. A Vaishnava, a devotee, a Vaishnava is really a high state. We are aiming to become Vaishnavas. So meaning he is pure and he is selfless. So when he meditated for thousands of years, celestial years, as we heard yesterday, the Lord was pleased with him and he actually really revealed to Brahma, the Vaikuntha planet, the spiritual world. He revealed himself. And Lord Brahma, he recited then beautiful prayers from which we receive his enlightenment, you know. Repeatedly he glorified the Lord with the words, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, meaning I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. And with this he reveals further on in the prayers Krishna's creation, Krishna's form, Krishna's activities, his pastimes. And so when he became a Vaishnava devotee, then actually only Brahma became empowered by Krishna to execute his duties. Because he had some duties to do to create the material universe. So this leads up now to the point of empowerment. And so Brahma, he was generally, he wanted to know actually who he is and how to fulfill his duty. He had no other motivation really, no other purpose and no other intent to find out what is the existence and the purpose of his existence. So here Brahma can be compared also to a gardener. A gardener does not produce a seed, but he actually receives the seed, puts it into the ground, waters it, cultivates it. And Lord Brahma carries out his duties in the matter of creation exactly in this way. Krishna, he is the seed-giving father. Bhagavad Gita tells us, 14.4. Aham bijapadapita. Krishna is saying, I am the seed-giving father. Yes, so this very important quality of Lord Brahma, to be selfless and very genuine, motivated, without any hidden agenda, qualifies him, you know, to actually create. So by receiving this mantra, the Gopal mantra is meant here also now, is mentioned. It's the second initiation. With the second initiation, devotees receive the Gopal mantra. And with accepting this mantra as divine, so Brahma became qualified. And then, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulnanda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Gornitai Ketai. So when he became qualified, then he was able to execute his duties of creation with the will of the Lord, in accordance with the will of the Supreme Lord. So really empowerment comes through disciplic succession. So no one can fulfill the Lord's purpose or desires without being sufficiently empowered by the Lord or by his representatives. A Vaishnava, empowered by the Lord or by his bona fide representative, is also blessed with the potency of that instruction given to him. And by taking this instruction selflessly to heart, he is actually empowered to carry it out. So we know from Srila Prabhupada, he got the instruction by his spiritual master, his divine grace, A.C. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj. He heard it very first time when he met him on the top of the roof. And there he was told to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language all over the world. And we hear from the his biography how Prabhupada actually at that night he embraced in his heart Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj as his spiritual master, and from there on he pondered on these instructions his lifelong until he actually could carry it out. And in the meantime, that instruction was also twice repeated to him when he was initiated already. So we can also see that there are so many disciples in the movement, in the Hare Krishna movement, who have taken Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission very gently to heart. And they selflessly meditated and meditate on and worship Srila Prabhupada's desires, Prabhupada's directions, Prabhupada's guidance. And they have created amazing projects within ISKCON, which are really benefiting the world at large. So that principle, it works for all. Following in the footsteps of the Guru Parampara, or bona fide Guru Parampara, may it be in a large or less large scale, the principle works. So what now, on the other side, what should be the person who is entrusted with thus an instruction or with thus such a responsibility, what should be his mood? Like, oh, yes, I'm linked to that guru, I'm linked to the Guru Parampara, I can do it. I can be proud, I can make it, you know, it's in my personality. But is it not really that he or she should rather acknowledge their incapability and their being aware of the position they are really in? Should they not really ask, how can I perform such a task? What can I do? I remember Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, he really very much pointed this point out. How can I perform my task? How? Meditating on it again and again. So I have really no credit, I have no ability. How can I do it? So one must really hanker and seek the mercy of the Lord, you know, seek the grace, seek the shelter, seek the guidance. And then one can also successfully execute one's task, you know. Or maybe, yeah, okay, one can. So a devotee is always conscious that he is subordinate, or she is subordinate, that she is not the enjoyer, that she is not in any way the beneficiary, you know, of the activities. Like Krishna is saying, I am Bhoktaram Yagyatavasam, the person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, he's saying in Bhagavad Gita 5.29. So that person attains peace of the pangs of material miseries. So a devotee is aware about this, and a devotee prays rather to assist and be an instrument in the Lord's service. And in this way also he is saved, because he can be detached. He can be detached from the service given to him. There's no risk to fall proud. So if one selflessly follows the order with a desire to please the Lord and the bona fide representative, then actually empowerment comes through the order. So he also, Srila Prabhupada, just before embarking from his journey to New York at Boston Harbor, he wrote this very beautiful prayer, the Makki in Bhagavad Dharma, and there also he expressed his complete dependence on Lord Sri Krishna's mercy and will, and begging him to be engaged just like a puppet moved by the hand movements of the puppeteer. So that is the way how devotees should look up for the mercy of the Lord, for the execution of their duties, and in this way, leaving success or not success actually at the will of the Lord. So this whole topics of initiation, tapasya and empowerment reminded me on that beautiful Dhruva Maharaj story. We have heard it already, but I'm just going to recite it again a little bit, not too much. But Dhruva, he was a 5 years old boy, And at this time, he got rebuked by his stepmother, you know, with very harsh words. She said to him, "If you want to sit on the lap of your father, you must first worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with penance and austerities, and then, maybe, in your next life, you can take birth from my womb." So that really hurt Dhruva very much. And he actually also had a very intense feeling of revenge. So he had a feeling of revenge. He desired to become greater than, have a property, have a kingdom greater than his father and even greater than Lord Brahma himself. So by the advice of his real mother, of his birth mother, he went to the forest to look for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we know from Vedic scriptures, somebody who is searching for God, searching for Krishna, if he's sincerely, then Krishna will send a bona fide spiritual master to give him instructions how to reach him. So here, Narada Muni, he appeared on the scene, and after an initial test, you know, of sincerity, then he told Dhruva Maharaj how to actually absorb himself in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Dhruva Maharaj, he undertook then severe penances in order to realize God. And he met also with success. He had a visualization. He had, within his heart, he could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He meditated, but then, for a moment, he lost this meditation. So when he opened his eyes, then he saw him standing just in front of him. And there, he could not do other than just falling flat down on the ground. So he wanted to offer very profound prayers to the Lord. But because he was a small boy, he could not really speak. So there, however, the Lord, knowing he's situated in the heart of everyone, he knew the emotions of Dhruva, and he took his conch shell and tapped it to the head of Dhruva. And with this, he empowered him to articulate his most beautiful prayers. And at the very end of his most profound realizations and prayers, he said, "I came into this forest just looking for pieces of broken glass, but instead I have found a great jewel in you, my dear Lord, and now I am completely satisfied and don't want anything." Yes. So, coming nearly to the end, I would like to point out the last paragraph by Srila Prabhupada in his purport. He said, "One who is thus initiated in the disciplic succession is able to achieve the same result or power of creation. Chanting of this holy mantra is the only shelter of the desireless pure devotee of the Lord. Simply, by such tapasya or penance, the devotee of the Lord achieves all perfections like Brahma." So we know that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the instruction as a basic fundamental instruction to spread the holy name, to spread the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all over the world, in every town and village, to let people know about who is Krishna based on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And seeing this sentence here, "One who is thus initiated in the disciplic succession is able to achieve the same result of power of creation," I was thinking actually that, yes, ISKCON is creating so many oases, spiritual oases, where people can come and experience the spiritual world, where people can take up the process to live in the spiritual world, even within being here in the material world. So in this way, ISKCON is creating the spiritual world in so many ways, expansions, in forms of ISKCON centers, in forms at home, you know, where devotees have their make their home a temple. Yes. So really it is up to the devotee, individually and collectively, to engage in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, taking fully shelter, he has said, And through this process become purified, become desireless. Desireless we cannot become, but become aligned to desire of Krishna. Leave all other material desires behind, any hankerings for fruitive activities, any hankerings for mental speculation, any hankerings for mystic cities, leave all these material desires behind. So this is the power of being linked to ISKCON, being linked to a bona fide disciplic succession, and taking full advantage of this, you know. And and in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission will fully blossom, and the spiritual world will be able to manifest more and more. Hare Krishna. That's the end of my class. Hare Bol. So if devotees have any realizations on this verse or purport or any comments, questions, okay? If there's some. We have 2 minutes, yes.
Hare Krishna. Thanks so much for the nice class.
Welcome.
Just something which went from my head when you were mentioning how devotees are chanting and engaging in austerities, even if they don't feel like it. I was thinking, as long as we have a material body and a material mind, will there be a time when we really start to actually relish those things and the chanting and everything? Because sometimes we can hear from devotees which even engaged in the process for 20, 40 years that they still don't really relish it.
Yes.
So I was just wondering,
yes,
what do we have to prepare ourselves for?
I think there's great hope. I think so. What is my understanding here? That, yes, in the beginning we may struggle a lot, you know, but then the struggle becomes a little bit less, you know, and then we can maybe relish here and there sometimes something, you know. So I think there is a gradual process into it, and I'm sure there must be also devotees within our ISKCON movement around who do relish. Nevertheless, maybe struggle will never end. There will be always something, you know, because as we heard, Maya Devi is always there. So everyone has to pray. Even Prabhupada prayed, isn't it, every day? But I think there's a progression, definitely. So I don't think you need to be. Yeah. That's my understanding. Thank you. If somebody else wants to say something on this. Oh, here's another comment.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so we're hearing a lot about austerity. Mm. But actually, if you think about it, in Krishna consciousness, there isn't really a lot of austerity.
Yeah, that's what my class wanted to bring about. Yeah.
Sorry?
Okay, please, continue. Yeah.
Continue. Now, if you think about it, actually, in Krishna consciousness, there isn't really a lot of austerity.
Mm.
The austerity is usually in the mind. The mind always wants to come up with an easy, comfortable situation. And devotees was talking about devotees been around and not really relishing Krishna consciousness. It's because maybe they're not pushing it. They're not pushing themselves enough. Because we always want to just take the easy route, comfortable situation. And austerity, if you think about it, is really meant to even invoke or soften the heart. And if it doesn't soften the heart, then it's not, we're not doing it in the right consciousness. We're meant to, the heart's meant to become softened, and we're meant to develop some attachments and devotion to Krishna.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of austerity.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't do that, then maybe that austerity is not the right thing for us.
Mm. Yeah, so that's exactly what I meant. Also, wonderful, I think. So that's right. Yeah, tapasya is meant to come to the process of devotional service, and it's very important, the mood of the devotee, to actually progress in that.
But I don't think the problem these days is not performing enough austerity. I think these days the problem is, the problem isn't we're performing too much austerity.
Okay.
We're not performing enough, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, like, because like I said, the mind has a tendency just to take the easy route.
Uh-huh.
So it's always good to start up here when it comes to austerity. because it's always going to go down. If we start down there, then it's going to be hitting the floor, and the austerity will be, you know, getting up in the morning, having a warm shower is an austerity, you know. So we really.
Okay.
So first of all, focus your austerity on pleasing Krishna, yeah. Pleasing the Guru,
mm-hmm.
And then start up here.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's why Prabhupada has given us a certain program to follow, isn't it? So, yeah, if you follow that,
you know,
that
we should go out in Sankirtan, go out on the street,
exactly.
Go out in
yeah.
Actually, if you ask a Sankirtan devotee, is it austere going out in the freezing cold? They'll say, no, it's nectar.
Yes.
Because that's the austerity. If you're doing the right mood, that austerity becomes nectar, becomes relishable. And there's no austerity, actually, really, if you think about it. It's just all in the mind.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. All right. Anything else? No? Okay, then we can close the session today. Oh, Prayuna Prabhu, sorry. Yeah, please, one time more, and then we will close.
It just reminds me of Mother Kalangana, actually. She was once... they were talking about chanting and Harinam and everything. And she used to go out on books. And she said to us that actually she wasn't very good at book distribution.
Mm.
But her... her attitude was that she must do it for Prabhupada. And she was doing it for somebody else, to please them.
Mm-hmm.
And but the other thing she said, that somebody told me, that Mother Kalangana was saying, I'm in Maya, I must go and chant the holy names in Harinam. I'm in Maya. And instead of running away from book distribution and things, she used to go to it to get out.
Yes,
you know, to get you know, she knew in herself that she mustn't fall into that trap of sort of comfortableness.
Yes,
yeah, she. And so they said that actually Mother Kalangana was an example that when she was struggling, she would want to go out and go into this thing of distributing books and things like that. But though she had that motive was to please her spiritual master.
Thank you. Yes. This reminds me also, she also, when she was struggling, she always ran to the temple room actually to be in the association of devotees. She was always looking for the association. Thank you. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.